You are listening to The Truth About Hypnosis. Today I'm going to spend a little time explaining to you the fundamentals of hypnosis. Research has shown that if we take the time to explain a little bit about hypnosis to our clients, they benefit much greater from their hypnotic sessions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to explain some terms and misconceptions that maybe Hollywood has given you about hypnosis. Each level of the mind has a protective function. Even when you're in the deepest levels of hypnosis, you're always safe because the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious mind are always working to make sure that you're safe. So let me go over it bit by bit, and I'm just going to start with the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind is really your body's consciousness. The medical people will call it the autonomic nervous system. When you're born, you come in with instincts, an inner knowledge of how to operate your body. The unconscious mind is responsible for respiration, heartbeat, all the things you don't have to think about. One of the things about the unconscious mind is its ability to change and learn, and that is limited. It can change, it can learn, but in your daily kind of activities, it's not very good at it. However, Dr. Ivan Pavlov showed that when you pair a stimuli with some other occurrence, the unconscious mind can actually learn. For example, what he did, if he showed a stimulus like a bell, gave a dog a morsel of food, the dog would salivate. Now, after pairing that a number of times, just hearing the bell ring would cause the dog to salivate. And so that shows that the unconscious mind can learn, because salivation is not under the control of conscious mind, it's under the control of the subconscious mind. The unconscious mind can learn through that kind of classical conditioning, or through hypnosis, self-hypnosis, or hypnotherapy. For example, somebody who's suffering from migraines, this is something that's happening at the unconscious level. Through hypnosis, we can re-educate the unconscious mind and have it rid itself of pain. Now, another interesting thing about the unconscious mind, it is the part of you that generates how emotions feel. For example, if you feel happy, there's a certain physical sensation that goes with happiness or joy. If you're feeling sad or angry, your body feels a certain way. And because the unconscious mind generates the physical attributes of emotions, we call those things feelings. Now, one of the things I'll talk about right away, even at the deepest levels of your mind, the unconscious level, you have a protective function. No matter what you're doing, no matter what you're thinking, the unconscious mind is always protecting against infection and uses reflexes. For example, if a ball was heading towards your face, before you had time to think about it, you would automatically cover up and protect yourself. So the unconscious mind has a protective function. The subconscious mind is really who you are. It is all of your habits, behaviors, beliefs, and it's an exceptional part of you. We'll go through it step by step. The subconscious mind starts off empty when it's first developed. And then, as you go through life, you have experiences. What happens is you start to build up a database. In psychology, they call that the subconscious mind, when it's first developed, Pablo Rasa, or blank slate. Then as you have those experiences in life, they kind of coagulate into beliefs, habits, and once those have occurred, then they resist change. And you really develop a certain consistent way of behaving to certain circumstances, to people, and your personality is developed. Once that happens, it resists change. This is good news and bad news. The good news is that you'll behave consistently you'll have a particular personality. The bad news is when you want to make changes, it's very difficult to make changes unless you could have a protracted experience over time or unless hypnosis is used, because hypnosis can have an immediate effect on the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is also the area that generates the emotions. Based on beliefs, experiences in the world, you respond to that in an emotional way. For example, if you believe a person should treat you in a particular way and they treat you unfairly, the subconscious mind will begin to generate the feeling of anger. One of the interesting things about the subconscious mind is the subconscious mind seems to be unlimited in capacity. No one has ever filled up the unconscious mind, and unless there is a trauma or a disease, you can always learn something new. And the information in that database of information is always accessible. Even people who are in their oldest years can tell you about their childhood. And in hypnosis, it's very easy to access that information. That's why it's sometimes used in court trials to uncover information about crimes. Now, the other interesting thing, at all levels of the mind, they have that protective function. The subconscious mind protects against known dangers and motivates you to fulfill your needs. So that's what the emotions do. They motivate you. So if something's a known danger, it'll generate the emotion of fear. And that motivates you to have fear, and that keeps you safe. Now we're going to go to the conscious mind. The conscious mind, there's this old saying, I think, therefore I am. Well, the truth is, who we really are is the subconscious mind. But the part of us that thinks is our point of focus, our conscious mind. This point of focus has a home place, and that's in the now. Right now, you're consciously focusing on this recording, but we could talk about the past. The conscious mind would then refocus on the past. We could talk about things in the future, and you'll start thinking about the future, but I want you to think about the conscious mind is what you are thinking about right now. It's analytical and it's logical. It's kind of your problem-solving mechanism, so it gives you the ability to assess the situation, give your experience to come up with an answer. For example, if you're working out a math problem, you're using the conscious mind. One of the other interesting things about the conscious mind is that it is limited. The subconscious mind is unlimited. The conscious mind, there's lots of scientific research, psychological research, that shows the conscious mind can only hold about 7 to 9 bits of information at any time. This is why trying consciously to make important and substantial changes in your life usually fails, because the conscious mind can only hold 7 to 9 bits of information. Hypnosis allows you to go in and work with this greater database of who you are and have an effect on your habits and beliefs, especially the limiting beliefs. As we can see, the conscious mind also has a protective function. It's constantly protecting you against perceived danger. That's based upon what's rational and analytical. So that's basically how the hypnotist thinks about the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. Now you're going to notice that between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind is a thing called the critical factor. The critical factor is a comparing mechanism. As new information comes into you from your senses, it has to be acknowledged by the conscious mind and then get through this critical factor before it becomes beliefs, habits, and really enters into that database of information. The critical factor is the reason why it is hard to change limiting beliefs and habits over time. When that new information comes in, it compares that new information with what's already in the subconscious mind. If it matches, it instantly goes in and reinforces what's already been those beliefs and habits become stronger and firmer in your life. If some new bit of information comes in and it doesn't match what's in there, it just goes into the database of information, stuff you know about, but really doesn't have an effect on your life. I'm going to define some terms that you might hear in the recordings. First, the most important term, what is hypnosis? Fortunately, the U.S. government has given us a definition, and it's very useful. According to the U.S. government, hypnosis is the bypass of the critical factor and the acceptance of acceptable thinking. An example of that would be when information comes in, hypnosis allows us to bypass this comparing mechanism, so information can go right into the subconscious mind and affect our limiting beliefs and our habits, so we can make powerful change right away. Now, if I was to change this around a little bit, maybe it'd improve it a little bit, I would change the definition to, through the establishment of acceptable selective thinking, we would get the bypass of the critical factor, and the establishment of the acceptable critical thinking is a fancy way of saying focused attention. When the hypnotist or hypnotherapist works with you, when you first start out the session, you are going to hear a hypnotic induction. It's going to help you relax and focus your attention. Another word that you might hear, sleep. Hypnosis is not sleep. If you hear the word sleep, just think of it as a shorthand for go deeply relaxed, as if you were asleep with your eyes closed. If you go to sleep, you'll miss the whole thing. So stay awake, no matter how many times you hear the word sleep. Just remember, eyes closed, deeply relaxed. One of the important things I want to mention as you're listening, I want you to understand hypnosis is a normally occurring state of being. Hypnosis has been going on since the beginning of time. Let me give you some examples of normally occurring states of hypnosis. Most people have had the experience of driving in a car. And you're driving along, and you're thinking about what you're going to do when you get to work, or what you're going to do on the weekend, about everything but driving. And that's because your subconscious mind is actually taking care of all of those driving needs. It actually knows where it's going. But then sometimes you say, oh, did I pass my exit? And that's because you've been on automatic pilot. You've been in a light state. Another interesting thing, in very deep levels of hypnosis, people can experience analgesia or anesthesia. It's a blockage of pain, and anesthesia is the complete blockage of sensation. I've had the experience, and maybe you have. Maybe you're getting ready for bed, and you look down at your leg and your arm, and you notice there's a big bruise or a cut, scrape, scratch, and you wonder, how did I get that? Well, this is what happened. During the day, you were focused on something, highly focused, and as you focused on it, you went into a state of hypnosis, a natural state of hypnosis. What happened is you incurred the injury, the bump, the cut, or the scrape. You didn't even feel it or know it. So it shows that you can block out all of that pain, and it's a naturally occurring state. Here's another example. In one of the deepest levels of hypnosis that a hypnotherapist uses, you can experience negative hallucinations. Let me tell you about hallucinations. Whatever you're focusing on is a function of the conscious mind. Typically, you will focus on the relaxation. Typically, you'll go more relaxed as you do the hypnosis session, as it keeps going, because all the levels of the mind, the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, all have these protective functions. No matter how deeply you go into hypnosis, you're always going to be able to protect yourself. If ever a suggestion is given that you don't like, you'll automatically reject it. If it's something you really don't like, you might emerge from hypnosis. Hypnosis is safe and has been accepted by the American Medical Association since 1958 and has been used by medical and other kinds of professionals for a great variety of things, from anesthesia to behavioral change, a number of things. Hypnosis is a consensual state. It's something you do with the hypnotherapist. As a matter of fact, the hypnotherapist, anyone of normal intelligence can be hypnotized. Used to be thought that only 20% of the population could be hypnotized. Well, what we've learned is, if you take the time to do what we're doing here, explaining hypnosis, anyone of normal intelligence who's willing to follow instructions can experience a wonderful level of hypnosis and experience all the changes that you want to make.